This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This is the Yahoo Sports NBA podcast. Hosted by Chris Mannix. From interviews.
Let's bring in John Wall.
He's Reggie Miller.
Bring in Eric Spoelstra.
To the latest NBA news.
To insights you won't get anywhere else.
Rioting is bad. You shouldn't riot.
Past episodes of the podcast can be downloaded in the iTunes Store and Google Play.
Why wouldn't you go back?
Subscribe and leave a rating or comment. Here he is.
Speaking of guys putting their foot in their mouth.
Chris Mannix.
Yes.
My guest this week is a familiar face in the NBA. You know him from his days at ESPN, Bleacher Report on the radio. His new podcast is called The Swirl. You can catch it on iTunes. It's available everywhere. Terrific podcast. And his name is Rick Bucher. He joins me right now. What's happening, Rick?
Oh, we're in the throes. We're in the stretch run. So it's a good time to be. We got the NCAA tournament coming up. So We're going to have all the guys moving up and down the draft boards. And I say that with tongue in cheek because it always cracks me up. Oh, this guy's moving up the boards. He's moving down the boards. It's like, they don't make decisions like that. But nonetheless, we get to play with that. And then we have teams kind of sort of dialing it up. It's the pre-playoffs. So good time to be covering basketball in general.
No question. And I want to start there in the Eastern Conference. And you've been covering the league for a long time. I can't remember a time when maybe this conference or any conference was really kind of this unpredictable. You got Cleveland sitting as the, you know, the defending champs of the conference. Toronto up at the top. Boston, you know, they've been ebbing and flowing with the way they've played this season. Do you look at this conference right now, and do you see a clear front runner in the Eastern Conference?
If I had to pick one, if I was forced to pick one, and this is really a sea change for me, it would be the Toronto Raptors. But I can find fault with all of them, and that's what makes this so compelling. It's why I, as disappointing as the Cavs have been, their first iteration and their second iteration, I can't quite put them out of the mix. I don't sense the change. I don't like the Cavs as a playoff team. I thought they would be a better regular season team. When they came out of the gates with the first two wins, I was like, yeah, that's what I expect. And now they're 2-4, last I checked, since the break. And now I've got questions as to, you know, just when they're going to be able to put this together. But I don't like the group that's around LeBron. I can never ignore what LeBron has done, but there are a lot of question marks I have as far as Rodney Hood and George Hill as postseason players, and then Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson we've never seen in the postseason. So I have my reservations about where they are. But I could say that about the Celtics, and certainly the Raptors have certain things to prove when it comes to playing against LeBron James. So I really don't feel, no matter who ends up with the best record, I don't know that there's going to be a favorite. I could probably throw the Washington Wizards in the mix as far as teams that, if you close one eye, you could see ending up in the NBA Finals this year.
You know, we all kind of reflexively you know, go back to Cleveland. I did after the trade when they beat Boston and then they went to beat Oklahoma City. I thought the deal was perfect. I thought surrounding LeBron James with shooters was enough to at least get that team out of the Eastern Conference. But it clearly didn't solve any of their defensive woes. And people say, well, Kevin Love's coming back. Well, when did Kevin Love solve anybody's defensive problems?
Or like be the trusted, like everybody's like, oh, well, LeBron trusts Kevin Love.
Now
really?
He does.
Really? When it...
Now he trusts Kevin Love. No, I don't think that's happening. I think they are a bad matchup for Boston, though. When they space the floor with those guys, Boston can be a great matchup for a lot of teams. They're actually a great matchup against Golden State, the way they played the Warriors the last couple of years. They're a pretty good matchup against Houston. They beat them in Boston. That was a tremendous game over the weekend in Houston. But the way that the Cavs have kind of built this team around LeBron, they're a tough matchup for them. Now, the one caveat I'll throw out there is that Marcus Smart's made a difference. You know, Marcus Smart coming back from that hand injury has been a game changer since the All-Star break. 4-1 with Smart back in the lineup. And this is a guy, Rick, that can defend like four positions at times. And when you have that type of defensive weapon out there who can take pressure off a whole bunch of other guys, especially with that second unit, he could be a game changer for that team. Some of their worst losses, they have not had Marcus Smart. And, you know, people look at a bench player and see how big an impact can he make. I look at Marcus as being a real impact player for that team.
I'm a big Marcus Smart fan. He's a little bit like the trick-or-treat Tony Allen. You don't always know what you're going to get. But when a guy gives me a performance like he did in the playoffs while Isaiah Thomas was out, that to me is the hallmark of what a guy is capable of. And yeah, there can still be inconsistency. There's still some up and down. But he showed me a benchmark that so few guys, even consistent guys during the regular season, can never get to in the postseason. And there's a great value. And that's why I didn't know how much stock to put in the idea that there was some trade rumors around surrounding him at the trade deadline. And I'm like, that's not for the way this Celtics team is composed. A guy that has the grit and the fearlessness in big situations that Marcus Smart has, considering how relatively young some of the other pieces are, that's the last guy I'm moving, considering how they are built and what their aspirations are.
Yeah, my understanding of the trade talks was that, you know, Boston wanted a good first-round pick for him, and that was largely so they could put that in another package and see if they get another player. I don't think they were ever down on Marcus Smart. And Marcus Smart could be there, you know, at least under a new long-term contract. I don't think Boston is anti-Smart. I think they looked at the landscape for next summer, or this summer, when they were negotiating with him last summer, and said, well, who's going to offer you the kind of money that you're looking for? So, you know, Marcus Smart is very much in this team's plans. Now you
are you telling me? Are you telling me that Danny Ainge was looking to reshuffle the deck once again? Is that what you're alluding to?
It's surprising. I know he's not very big on trades.
So unlike him.
I mean, Mike Zarin doesn't make any phone calls. Like never calls anybody.
right.
It's hard to get a hold of. You mentioned Toronto, and I'll give them that. I think that the way they play offensively can carry over. I've had some concerns that, you know, the sort of free-flowing offense, three-point-heavy offense will revert back to Lowry, DeRozan. That's never won anything. But the bench guys, who have been so good this season, how much do you trust that second unit? We're talking about guys like, you know, Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet and Delon Wright, guys that are having tremendous seasons but have never performed in the playoffs. You brought up the Hoods and the Clarksons with the Cavs. Do you have the same concerns with the Wrights and the VanVleets and the Siakams with Toronto?
Yeah, no. Without question, I do. You know, the one caveat there is that the rotations generally shorten up during the postseason, and it's going to be sort of a mix and match. And we'll find out. I mean, this is probably more of a referendum when it comes to Dwayne Casey and his ability to not get stuck in, which if there's a tendency he has that I think has not served him well, is that he's got a certain stubbornness about him. He finds something and he stays with it, and he's not necessarily facile when it comes to changing up. I think with the kind of bench that they have, he has to take the approach that Steve Kerr does with the Warriors, which is, you know what, I'll throw JaVale McGee out there, and if he gives me, you know, a solid 2 minutes, I'm going to feed him another two. And if those are good, then I'll give him two more, and then I know that he's going to fall off the cliff, so I got to have somebody else ready. And I think that's the same approach that the Raptors are going to have. Now, whether they can find gold in any of them is a question, but I believe that, you know, it's really a mix and match situation. They're not going to find, you know, a solid 7-8. It's going to be whoever's playing well in a particular at a particular time. And Dwayne Casey's going to have the quick hook and trust that, okay, I'll go to plan B if plan A is not working.
I know they were kind of forced into, you know, playing these guys because ownership didn't want to pay the tax, so they moved some of these pricier veterans. But I love the way those young players have brought an energy and a toughness to that second unit. I was in Toronto a couple of weeks back when they played Boston, and the starters played fine, but it was the second unit coming in that just punched the Celtics in the mouth and turned that game into a blowout in the first half. I mean, I just love, I mean, this just goes to show once again, Rick, that, you know, being a successful NBA team, the formula for it, it's not rocket science. You know, don't screw up draft picks. You know, draft a Siakam end of the first round. Get a Van Vliet who goes undrafted. Draft Dylan Wright end of the first round. Teams that do this, they tend to win. They miraculously wind up at the top of the standings. Teams that don't, they don't. And Toronto and Masai Ujiri, they've hit on these guys. They really have.
Well, and I appreciate the teams that aren't trying to win the press conference. I see so many draft picks that look great because of
college resumes,
the numbers that a guy puts up or the program that he played in. And it's a matter of when you're picking guys, there has to be a certain professionalism and approach to the game where I'm not asking you to do everything. I'm asking you to do certain things and be consistent in doing them. And that's as much a demeanor, or, you know, not even necessarily numbers, just athleticism. You know, guys that can jump out of the gym. There are all kinds of guys who aren't the greatest athletes who are making meaningful contributions, because you can't have, like, this is going to come as a shock to people, but you can't have five, like, out of the world athletes on the floor. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to have success. Like, you need guys who just do, who connect the dots, who cross the T's, dot the I's, etc., and know how to play with those great athletes, because those great athletes are going to break certain rules, and you still have to have a certain uniformity when you play. And the Van Vliet's are those kind of guys.
Yeah. All right. Let me move to the Western Conference here, and this is another incredibly jumbled field. As we speak, the Clippers are sitting in the 9 spot. They're currently 2.5 games out of the 3 spot in the Western Conference, which is incredible to say. But I want to start with the team in 4, and that's the Pelicans. As we speak, won 8 straight games. You know, DeMarcus Cousins goes down. Anthony Davis just takes off. I mean, he has been an MVP candidate over the last few weeks, putting up some historic numbers. How surprised are you by what you've seen with New Orleans?
I guess in one respect, I'm not surprised, that because I've always thought that Jrue Holiday is quietly a linchpin when it comes to this team, and in a lot of ways, less so with Anthony Davis, but more so with when DeMarcus Cousins were there, he's the perfect personality to put alongside him. And the perfect point guard in a way, in that he's going to take what's there, but he's not going to dominate the ball. You know, some of this I have to take a look at who they've played over this stretch. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. There's a win over the Nets. There's a win over the Lakers. There's a win over the Suns. There's a win over the Mavericks. We've got a couple of quality teams spliced in there. So some of this I'm going to attribute to the schedule. I will say this: the one thing that I'm dying to see is a Timberwolves Pelicans matchup in the first round, and I don't know if we're going to get it, but I would love to see Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns go head to head for a series, because there's nobody that Anthony Davis gets more pleasure out of competing against and beating than Karl Anthony Towns, because he feels like Towns was anointed at his expense. Like, wait a minute, I'm still here, right? And so just in as far as all of that is concerned, I'd love to see that in a first round. So, I would have not expected that they would have risen to this point without DeMarcus Cousins, but we'll see. I'm not one of those that has always been a huge Anthony Davis proponent. I thought that in some ways when people were talking about him being one of the best three players in the league, I think from a talent perspective, there's no question. But he hasn't always, the personality and the forcefulness with which he plays at times has been lacking. This perhaps is, I mean, maybe this is his coming out party. I'd like to see him continue this and continue it to the end of the season. Because I think there's still something, for me, there's still something to be proved by Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that the Pelicans, they go as far as their three-point shooting goes. Because Davis is going to put up numbers one way or the other. But they're in the middle of the pack. I think they're 15th in the NBA in three-point shooting this year. And they're getting guys, whether it's Etuan Moore or Darius Miller, even Rajon Rondo shooting in the mid-30s from three-point range. They're getting guys that are, you know, spacing the floor well. And this was my biggest concern with the lineup they were going to throw out there when Solomon Hill was figured to be in that mix. I was just looking around and wondering where the three-point shooting was going to come from. If they're a top 15, top 10 type of three-point shooting team, and they're not far off from being in the top 10 in three-point shooting, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, if you have to defend Davis one-on-one and have to chase out those shooters, you're going to have a hard time stopping them, even in the postseason, especially in one of those first-round matchups, because as we've seen, outside of those top two teams, there's nobody that's really incredibly intimidating 3 through 8.
No, true. And it'll be interesting to see whether they can maintain. I mean, in the flow of the regular season, guys getting comfortable and feeling good about their shot, and it's difficult with the way the schedule is for teams to say, you know what, we're going to take this guy away, or we're going to force him to shoot threes from this place or under this duress. You get to the postseason, you can game plan. You can force the ball to be shot by guys in places that they don't want to shoot it. Will the three-point shooting, even in as middling as it is, you know, they got a lot of guys that are shooting 30% plus. Etuan Moore shooting 41. Can he maintain that? Is he going to be able to knock down consistently shots in the postseason? That's going to be the big question for them.
Support for this podcast, as always, comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Mannix, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. The team sitting directly above them is the Portland Trailblazers. And I swear, Rick, the Trailblazers should just, when they get to training camp, they should just tell everybody it's March. Like, just say, let's get ready to start. This is a team that for the last few years, every time the calendar rolls to late February, early March, they start to turn it off. They did it last year after the acquisition of Nurkic. They're doing it once again. They're sitting in that three seed. What is it about this team that they just seem to sleepwalk through the first few months of the season, and then when we get to the stretch run, they just seem to turn it on? Here we are again with the Trailblazers looking like at least a second-round type team.
Yeah, well, you know what? I got to give Terry Stotts a lot of credit. I think there's a figuring out what he has and what the rotations are and who can go to, and it takes them a while to get there. And this is, in some ways, the beauty of being a head coach who's earned the patience of his GM or is in lockstep with his GM, has a good relationship where there's not like I gotta put up wins and I gotta find out the best rotation and I gotta take everything on a day to day basis in terms of winning, as opposed to let me bake the cake, let me put the ingredients together and figure out how we best play and who plays best where. And I think they've done that. And, you know, Zach Collins is just a small example in that entire mix as far
as... I'm very surprised by Zach Collins. I thought he was going to be a bust. I really did.
You know what's funny is I liked him better than Lauri Markkanen when I saw them in Summer League, just because I liked the physicality and the grit. And I saw Zach play against USF last year, and his numbers were diminished throughout his collegiate career because he was so physical and he got in foul trouble all the time. And I thought, okay, you know what? They're going to let him play a little more at the next level. I didn't know that he was going to develop the three-point shooting that, and I don't want to be prisoner, but just the last couple of games I've watched, and he's like knocking them down from the top of the arc. Yeah. I didn't know that he would have that this quickly, but I thought that he was going to be able to provide them some physicality and some rebounding. And then Lauri Markkanen comes out and he's just lights out. And I'm like, okay, I look like an idiot on that one. But I really like the way Collins has come along, and they found a great role for him in the mix. And I think this is also like the quiet benefit of having Damian Lillard in particular and CJ McCollum is that they're ball dominant guards, but at the same time they can play off of other guys and they're more than willing to play off of other guys. They have that perfect combination of we're going to let everybody on the team touch the ball, but if it comes down to a short clock or a need situation, we're more than happy to take over. We're not going to look to somebody else to bail us out. And I think it takes a while. You know, they're like Damian and CJ, for as much as they shoot and much as they score, they really need to be, they need to utilize those other pieces around them. They can't just purely take over a game on their own physicality. I don't think they have the general strength and endurance to be able to do that. So I think that's one of the reasons why it takes a while for the Blazers to find their stride.
This is the team that I think we all thought we were going to see at the start of the season because they closed so well last year. They bring almost everybody back. I think it was 12 guys that came back from last year's team. And a big reason they didn't take off right away, I thought, was Nurkic didn't play well. Yep. I mean, Nurkic was kind of sleepwalking, and I use that word again, but going through the first couple of months. And, you know, I remember talking to Terry about this a month and a half, 2 months ago, and he was just visibly disappointed in what they were getting from Nurkic. Now, over the last month, you look at some of the numbers he's putting up, very good. You couple that with what Collins has done, and finally you have an inside or insider-ish guys to complement the two stars that they have. People wonder all the time, like, can you build around, you know, Lillard and McCollum? Do they have to break this group up? No, you just have to find guys that can play off them. And, you know, if Nurkic and Collins can continue this trend, they're going to win a first round series, and they're going to give, you know, whether it's Houston or Golden State, who they play really well against, they're going to give one of those two teams hell in that second round.
Well, Nurkic, keep in mind, Nurkic is, I think in some ways, he's still a very young player. He's still immature in some ways and was looking for a big payday last summer and didn't get it. They basically said, you know what? There's some big men that are going to be on the market and there's some big men coming out in the draft. Like, and the money that has been thrown around, he didn't get the payday that he expected to get. And I don't know this for a fact, but my sense is that there was a little moping going on after that and figuring out, okay, now how do I play? I think he has a conscious enough, and I think he's a good enough teammate that he knew, like, I can't just go for my numbers. That's going to screw up this team. But at the same time, okay, so how do I play and how do I get past the fact that they didn't re-up me for the long term? And so I think that was part of why you saw him start the way that he did. And then you get to a point where it's like, okay, you know, that's done. I'm not helping myself. If I want to get paid, I'm going to have to start playing. And now he has.
Everyone knows how important stretching is before an event. So does Mattress Firm, except it's your dollar. Your budget stretches further when you're shopping in America's Neighborhood Mattress Store. It's a true home run, and you'll have a ball. They're the head coaches when it comes to mattress expertise, but know this. They are more than mattress experts. They have a game plan that helps you transform your mattress into a bed, from adjustable bases and sheets to headboards and bedroom decor. They have you literally and figuratively covered up like your favorite cornerback. Go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to see what deals are happening as I read this sentence to you. They even offer you a 120 sleep night trial to ensure perfection and 120 night low price guarantee so you know you paid the perfect price. Talk about a 1-2 punch, a knockout, if you will. Score big with a perfect bed. Head to mattressfirm.com/podcast to get the play by play on how you can monumentally improve your sleep today, tonight, and tomorrow.
All right, let me finish with something a little bit lighter here, and that's Joel Embiid, who is always a good time. Played against the Cavaliers the other night and used it as an opportunity, it looked like, to recruit LeBron both on the floor when he was just exchanging pleasantries with him and afterwards where he's on social media all the time. Now, people have brought up Philadelphia as a LeBron destination before, but now you have Joel
Such
Embiid.
A ridiculous thing.
So you think it's ridiculous that LeBron...
It's stupid. It's the stupidest idea ever. It's the stupidest idea ever. I mean, I get the idea. Everybody's looking at the model. LeBron James goes and he goes to young talent and he brings them along and they play for another championship and he's in the Eastern Conference and this is the best young team. I get all that, all right? But if you scratch the surface, if you go past that, this team is not built for LeBron. You talked about teams that shoot the three, right?
Right.
Philadelphia's right there with New Orleans. They're right in the middle of the pack, and that's with J.J. Redick, who's going to be a free agent. You also have a number of other young guys that you're going to have to make a decision on as far as what you're going to pay them and how much you're going to pay them. Putting LeBron James and his contract in the middle of that is going to be difficult. And then it's matching him with... I mean, everybody says Ben Simmons is the next LeBron James. I think he's like slow your roll on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's some similarities, but I can't equate that. But you don't want to develop the next LeBron James by having LeBron James right on top of him. Like, how's that going to happen? You got Joel Embiid who can shoot the three, but I don't want him spotting up in order to leave the lane open for LeBron James to work. So what are we talking about here, really? From a basketball standpoint, it makes absolutely no sense. And I'm astonished at the number of people, like, I mean, they call my radio show. Like, there's one guy, he's like, hey, man, don't sleep. Don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on this. I'm like, I'm asleep. I'm comatose. It makes no basketball sense for LeBron James to play with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Okay, devil's advocate here, though. Let's say that Fultz can find his way to being the guy we thought he was going to be at some point next year. And you throw in the fact that they have, the Laker pick coming up, presumably, unless it's 2 through 5, that they can draft somebody else.
Okay.
That's another couple of really good young pieces. They can selectively look for shooters. They can look for guys coming out of the draft that fit around a LeBron James. Does that sway your opinion at all?
No. because, look, we've seen LeBron. How many great players who want to take over a game have the ability to take over and be a centerpiece? How many of them have we seen struggle with LeBron and really become who they are? I mean, LeBron is an interesting dynamic because he is an unselfish superstar.
Yeah.
But everything still is kind of dictated by the whims of him. When he's going to take over, he's going to take over. And when he's going to delegate, he's going to delegate. Well, if you're a player, if you're a cornerstone franchise player, like that's not good enough. And I just look at Joel Embiid and the way he approaches the game and Ben Simmons to sort of a lesser extent. And I just see, you know, larger versions of Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving. Not so much as scorers, but just as I want to be able to dictate this. And I and it, look, I'm not saying it couldn't work, because LeBron has demonstrated, and those guys are good enough that, yeah, and we know just from basketball in general, if everybody's willing to sacrifice, you can make it work. And there's without question, it's a great group of talent to put together. I just don't think it's ideal. And for where Philadelphia is, it's just not the first place I would go. This is the one other element, and I talked about this on my NBA show, is all of the compliments that LeBron gave Ben Simmons, like right after they lost. He goes to Instagram and says, I told you, you know, this guy's the young king, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw the same sort of turn with Kobe when he went from Hunter to mentor. And this kind of had the same feel. We've heard LeBron say, I've got nothing left to prove, et cetera, et cetera. I just found it, and he's been complimentary to other players before. This is not completely out of character. I just found it really odd that you just lost to this team. Again, another matchup that we could potentially see in the first round. You just lost to this team, and you're rushing to Instagram to laud how good Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are and to encourage them and all that. It just seemed, the timing seemed really odd for a guy that, if he's still going for a championship, if he's still got that eye of the tiger, if he's still unbelievably hungry, it just seemed like, you know what, you can do that at some point. The guy just beat you. Really? We're going to rush to Instagram and applaud him? It felt weird to me.
I'm going to save this audio for when he does sign with Philadelphia, you know,
July 2nd. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please do. And you know, put it out on Twitter. Make sure to put it out on Twitter so that I can't even look at my timeline. For the people in Philadelphia already hate me.
Yeah, They think that the process, that's the completion of the process, right?
Yes,
LeBron coming in.
Exactly. No, the process has already been completed. Sam Hinkie is already, I mean, you know, I wrote about this. I mean,
they should
people in the league
rehire
say,
Sam Hinkie. Bring Sam Hinkie back in, like, just before Brian Colangelo trades away all their first round picks. Bring Sam Hinkie back in and give him another gig. I don't know.
I will say you probably couldn't find two more diverse GMs.
No,
could you?
Really? No.
Than Sam.
Colangelo's wheeling and dealing. He's looking to use that equity to
have
Hinkie brought in. All right, Rick, always great to talk to you, man. Catch Rick on Mad Dog Radio, NBA Radio, Bleacher Report, and the podcast.
Wait a minute, we're not going to talk tanking?
Well, I mean, you said you had to go. You said
I know, but we have to talk tanking.
Okay, quickly, give me your let's just to recap real quickly. The NBA put a memo out there saying teams, in the aftermath of Mark Cuban's comments about trying
right.
to lose.
Right.
The NBA sent a memo around saying, you know, tanking will be dealt with in the most serious possible way. I'm paraphrasing
right.
there. Right now, we are seeing one of the worst examples of tanking that we've seen in a while. I ran the numbers. As many as 8 teams, Rick, could be tanking as we speak right now. They've got lottery reform coming in next year. First, do you think that is this the worst tanking you've ever seen? And does lottery reform next year solve the problem?
It remains to be seen whether the lottery reform will prevent any more Sam Hinkies or Philadelphia 76ers. But I have a completely different view of this.
Okay.
I don't see this as horrendous tanking, because yes, we have, if you want to look at the number of teams that are losing right now, it was like 1 in 46. There was some crazy number as far as the teams at the bottom of the league. But I would say, first of all, I don't see the 10-win Philadelphia 76ers. I don't see Orlando and Milwaukee. Like, all of
season
the
season-long tanking is now gone. Like, there hasn't
yeah,
been
I mean,
long.
That's not there. And if you look at the differential in scoring for these respective teams, you can go back over the last 5 years and you can find one, if not two, and sometimes three teams that were losing by larger margins than anybody in the league today, even the Phoenix Suns. And so I'm watching night to night. Do we have like 7 or 8 teams that are playing all their young guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But how many games are you seeing that are coming down to the last possession? It's the competition in the games themselves has not been the abject misery that I've seen in previous years. So I just ultimately, that to me is what tears at the integrity of the game, is when you have teams losing and they're making absolutely no effort to win on a nightly basis, and that's to me where they're not doing their duty as being part of the league. I'm watching games that are competitive to the end. They might be bad. They might be a lot of young guys going back and forth. But I think that there's an art to tanking. And I would say that the way that it's being done right now, like I think the reason that Adam Silver put the memo out is, and didn't have a problem with it getting out into the public. In fact, I think it was put out to be made public.
Yeah.
So he could say, hey, let's, you know, in spite of what Mark Cuban said, we are completely against tanking. Now, if you had one of those outliers, like the 10-win Philadelphia 76ers or 15-win, I think it was 15 wins that the Bucks had 1 year, then you'd go, wait a minute, you're against it. They're tanking. I mean, it's clear as day, they're tanking. You can put that memo out now because you got eight teams. Like, who? They're all 18, 19, 20 wins. Like, they're all in the mix. So you can't pick out one, and he's not going to find eight teams. So it's like the perfect time to tell the public, hey, we're against this. Just in case you know, you wondered, we're against this. But he doesn't actually have to take any action. I'll believe that they're really against tanking when I see a fine handed out to one of these teams at one point because they shortened the minutes in the fourth quarter of their veteran players who could have gone out and won the game single-handedly, and they decided to let the young players figure out whether they can win it or not.
I'll tell you this, though. The opportunity for that is probably going to be there in the last week of the season because you said it. There are a bunch of teams right now, 18, 19, 20 wins. The last week of the season, there'll be teams, when they see themselves in that mix, badly trying to lose, like mailing it in.
And if we get there, then yes, then I'm going to look at that and say, okay, we need to change something. And I'm not convinced that the lottery reform next year is necessarily going to do that. But I just, the timing for me is odd that we're all bothered about tanking. I mean, Chris, we've both covered the league for a long time. Tanking has been going on for 30 years.
Sure.
Some people just do it, you know, better than others, or they're just more naked about their approach to it and their desire to do it. I look at what's happening right now, and I look at the way the game's being played on the floor, and of all the times that I would get hot and bothered about tanking, this just isn't one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. All right, Rick, I appreciate it, man. The podcast is The Swirl. Does that come out every week, or what's
yes,
the timing?
Yes, weekly. Yes.
Okay. Rick, great.
UnitedWeCast.com.
UnitedWeCast.
That's where you can find it. UnitedWeCast.com.
You got it. Rick, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, Chris.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to my guests for joining the show. As always, you can download archived episodes on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, really anywhere you can download podcasts. While you're there, post a comment, leave a rating. You know I appreciate it. And I'll see you next week.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.